Well, good morning, Eagle Mountain Church. Praise God. Let's give God the glory this morning. Hallelujah. Father, we glorify you. We praise you. We thank you, Lord, for your presence in this place. Hallelujah. And we come with hearts expecting, dear Lord, for just a move of the Holy Spirit. Oh, this is a week of thanksgiving, and we start off now by thanking you. Hallelujah. We thank you for the word. We thank you for bringing us here together. We thank you, Lord, for this great nation that we have the privilege and the honor and at living in. And Father, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you, Lord, for our founders, Lord, Brother and Sister Copeland, and for Pastor George, Pastor Terry, Lord, and for their wisdom, dear Lord, and the anointing in their lives. And Father, we thank you for this great nation and for our president and for all those who are in authority. And we thank you, Lord, that you are moving in their midst right now in Jesus' name. And we thank you for that. Now, Father, as we come together in this word, we are growing and we're expanding, dear Lord. We're gaining wisdom and insight, dear Lord. And Father, in every word that we receive, and Father, we become in and to look more and more like Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Good morning. My goodness, y'all are great looking. Bunch of great looking, wealthy, healthy people. Amen. You know, I want to take this time to also welcome our TV viewers right now, watching by internet and by television. We are so excited that you're here with us today, that you tuned in this morning. And so we extend a welcome to you this morning. Come on, make them welcome. Yeah. Praise God. And like always, when I come up here, I encourage you to get your Bible, get something to write with, a pen and paper, and get your cup of coffee. You got to have a cup of coffee, all right? If you're not a cup of coffee drinker, get a tea, hot, something hot, tea, hot chocolate, something. But I think it just sets the mood right. Hallelujah. Guys, I'm so excited to be here this morning. It's a privilege and an honor. I want to thank Pastor George and Terry for allowing me to be here this morning to be able to teach. This is something that's so dear to my heart. You know, I love this opportunity to just get in the Word. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. You know, getting in the Word is something that is precious. Getting in the Word is something that really you cannot, how can I say it? You cannot say, I'm a Christian, and you never get into the Word.
Come on.
All right? All right. And I don't mean it in a condemning way. I mean it in a way that I want you to receive. Say, if you don't feed this, your spirit, you'll wither away. Yeah. All right. And then when issues of life comes along, you won't be strong enough to deal with it. So this morning, I want to talk to you on a very simple subject. I know this is Faith Foundations, but I believe that this truth that we're about to receive this morning, this truth, if you don't have this truth, actually, let me take a step back. There's three things that really are important. In order for everything, for your faith to work, for prosperity to work, for in areas of healing and prosperity, all those things, in order for that to work, first of all, you got to know, first of all, number one, God loves you.
Amen.
God loves you. All right? If you don't understand that part, nothing else is going to really work. You got to know he loves you. Say it out loud. He loves me.
He loves me.
All right. And the second thing you have to know is that his grace is sufficient.
Hallelujah.
He has provided everything.
Everything.
You know what? You know what the Greek for everything is?
Everything.
Everything. I want to be like Pastor Greg. You know, he brings in the Greek and the Hebrew. I wanted to be. I knew that one was correct. Okay. So. Everything. It includes everything. It's all encompassing. Everything his grace has provided. All right. And thirdly, this is what you have to know. If you know that God loves you and you know his grace is sufficient, and this is the subject I want to talk to you today, is you're one with Jesus.
Whoa. Hallelujah.
Yes, we are.
Glory.
You're one with Jesus. If you don't have that settled in here, You can try to believe, try to put the word to work in different things, but those things, those three things are crucial. They are so important. Oh, he loves me. I mean, I'm I'm in that Thanksgiving mode right now. All right. But, you know, we shouldn't just wait for the 1 week to be thankful. This should be something we do every day. Thanking God. I mean, I remember who I was and where I was and what I was. But God and His love and His mercy for me. I mean, that was the beginning. He loves me.
Yes.
And he's and as a loving father is, excuse me, as a loving father, he has given me all things. You know, I have three beautiful children. Yes.
Amen.
Well, Pastor, you're a little biased. Have you seen them? They're beautiful. I'm not just saying that because I'm their daddy. Have you seen their mama? She's beautiful. And I got three beautiful children. And I thank God for them every day. Well, do they do things that kind of get on my nerves from time to time? Well, yeah. But I don't love them any less. I don't withhold something good that's good for them because they made me mad. Why would we think God would be the opposite of us? The Word of God tells us that even, He says, well, if we being evil know how to give good gifts, how much more?
Yeah.
How much more do you think our Heavenly Father would give to those who love Him?
Amen.
And this is why I love God. This is why I'm so thankful. This is why I count it a privilege and an honor to be here, just to be able to minister the Word, because I'm so in love with Him. And He doesn't withhold anything good from me. Think back of just even this week. I'm going to get to the message here in a moment. But just think back. What all has He done for you? What has He done for you? You're here. You're sitting in this place, the revival capital of the world, and you're dressed, you're blessed, you're breathing.
Amen.
You have strength. You ought to be thankful.
Yes, sir.
You ought to be thankful. You ought to be so excited.
Come on.
That we get the opportunity to serve Him in this place.
That's right.
See, you guys stand out because y'all are here at 8:45-ish or something in the morning to come here and just get into the presence of the Lord. That you got extra credit. Hallelujah. I said, oh, Dr. Bailey's even here. You got extra credit. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, I'm telling you, I love the Lord. I love the Lord. You know, one with Jesus. One being one with Him. As Jesus is, so are you. When? Right now. Where? In this world. You know, before I came out here, the Lord gave me a couple of scriptures as I was praying, and I want to read one of them. It's not in the notes that I gave you back there, but it is in Jeremiah 29:11. And I want you to just hear these words. For I know the plans. Now, see, that is someone who loves you so much. He already knows what He has planned for you.
Yeah.
He says, for I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for peace and not for evil. To give you a future and a hope. And look at jump down to 13. You shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with some of your heart. When I wake up in a good mood. When I have a lot of money in my bank.
No.
He says, you shall search for me. He says, you'll find me when you search for me with all of your heart. With all your heart. So that understanding that God loves us so much. He has a plan that supersedes any plan you have. It's a great plan. It's a wonderful plan. Now, let's get into where I wanted to be at. Now, if you look over, now in 1 John 4:7, it says, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. Now notice something. It's in this world, it's not in the next. There's people who still believe that in the sweet by and by, it'll get better. Well, here in the now and ugly, you don't have to live in the ugly. You're blessed because you're just like him. You're just like him. So understanding that, the word says it's presently done here now on this earth. We're like him now. When did that occur? The moment you made him Lord. The moment you accepted his gift. That very moment, your spirit man looked just like him. Guys, think about that for a moment. If we look just like him, then why are we trying to work to be more like him? All right, now we're going to deal with the flesh and the soul and the body here in just a moment. But our spirit man, who we truly are, the real you, you have to know that we are a spirit first. That's who we are. We have a soul and we live in a body.
Yes.
This body is subject to whatever I tell it to do. Our soul is in constant battle with us, trying to get us to do something else because it's acquired bad habits. Okay? Oh, I don't have any bad habits. Well, you just lied. That was one. So but how do we get that in line? We're going to see that here in just a moment. But first of all, one third of you is perfect in his love. Oh my goodness. One third of you is perfect because it's made in his love. It's made in his image. It looks just like him. Matter of fact, I tell our KCBC students, if you're here, raise your hand, make a shout. I tell these students, I said, you know what? The devil would have no idea that they're dealing with someone other than Jesus until they hear you talk.
Come on.
Why? How can he tell? If you're spitting out doom and gloom, yeah. I mean, he's looking at you. He said, my goodness, that one looks like Jesus. I don't want to touch him because that's Jesus, I tell you. That's Jesus. And then he hear, and all of a sudden this one will say, well, I hope I get healed. That's not Jesus. That's how the devil will be able to define or distinguish who you are by what you say. So we're just like him in this world, not the next, because the word says now, presently here on earth. It's not talking about heaven and the future. As Jesus is, so are you. Now, every one of you this morning got up and you, at least I hope you did, got up, brushed your teeth, showered in some cases, but you got up before a mirror and you looked in that mirror and you fixed your hair, combed your hair. Some people who had makeup on. I have makeup on. I didn't put it on myself. Okay. It's for TV. Okay. I don't put on makeup. All right. But the mirror has something very, you know, it's something very interesting about the mirror is that it reveals things to us. Things that need to be fixed. Things that needs to be covered. All right. So when I tell people, so we are as Jesus, the first thing we want to try to look at is, well, I'm blemished. We don't look like him. And that was because you're concentrating on the wrong part.
There you go.
You're concentrating on the wrong part. If this was a mirror, I can look in that mirror. I can fix my hair, you know, shave, you know, put something here to cover this and cover that. Because when we look in the mirror, we can see zits, we can see baldness, we can see bulges, things that are not too common, you know, that you like, some physical imperfections. And you know that Jesus doesn't have those. Even in your emotional realm, there are some in the body of Christ that are dealing with depression, some who are dealing with discouragement and anger and bitterness, and very little of God's love is showing out or showing through them. Well, how can I be like Jesus if I'm just like him? So we start looking at the body, we start looking at the soul, and we start comparing and say, well, I'm not like him. I'm getting there. No. Maybe if I work on it a little bit harder. Maybe if I just, you know, go to this 10-step program, get a facelift, maybe I'd be more like Jesus. Guys, are you hearing my heart? No. In light of all those facts that we see in the physical and we see with our natural eyes, you can get a false understanding that Jesus, that you are not like Jesus, because we're looking at the outward. No. But what is our mirror? Think about our mirror. I want you to turn your Bibles over to 2 Corinthians 3:18. I'm going to read out of the Passion. 2 Corinthians 3:18. Oh, you got it up there for me. Notice this. It says, we can all draw close to him with the veil removed from our faces. All right? That veil is that veil of flesh, that veil of what we think we should look like. He says, we can look to him with the veil removed when we look at the Word of God. When we have the Word in front of us, that veil is removed. He goes, and with no veil, we all become like mirrors who brightly reflect the glory of the Lord. Now notice, it doesn't just stop there. It says we become like mirrors. We reflect his glory. But look at the next part of this. He says, we are being transfigured. When does this happen? When we're in the Word. When we begin to start looking at ourselves the way the Word of God says we are. We're no longer looking at a mirror in the bathroom and finding all of our imperfections and trying to correct them on our own mat and our own will and our own way. But we have the Word of God that causes us to reflect his very image. And then you're not just a reflection, you become transfigured into his very image as we move from one brighter level of glory to another. And this glorious transfiguration comes from the Lord who is the Spirit.
Hallelujah.
So that's exciting when you think about, I look like him. The Word of God says I look like him, so I'm just going to reflect him. But in my reflecting of him, I become like him. I become transfigured. What is the transfiguring happening? Where is it coming from? The Word. What's being transfigured? See, your spirit's already new, right? Your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions. Look with me, if you will, over in, the Lord gave me this one this morning as I was praying, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20, and I'm going to read it out of the Message. He says, dear friend, listen well to my words. Tune your ears to my voice. Keep my message in plain view at all times. Concentrate. Learn it by heart. Notice he says, learn it by heart. No, it's a heart issue. Those who discover these words live, really live, body and soul. They're bursting with health. Keep vigilant. Watch over your heart. Listen to this. That's where life starts. Don't talk out of both sides of your mouth. Avoid careless banter, white lies, and gossip. Well, I know the Word of God says I'm healed, but I don't feel like it. Well, I know that they say the tithe and God receives the tithe and he opens the windows of heaven, but I sure don't have an abundance. Don't talk out of both sides of your mouth. Avoid careless. What is careless? Just anything. You're saying anything. Banter and white lies. It's interesting. It calls it a white lie. Because we take a lie and we say, well, as long as it's in the church, it's not evil. I'll give you an example. Healing isn't for everybody. It sounds right. It sounds good to some people because it gives them an excuse why somebody didn't get healed. But according to the Word of God, all get healed. Healing is available for all, but they cover it up in a white lie. Well, maybe God does sometimes and God doesn't. That's not even true. But it's in the church. This would kind of count as a white lie because it leads people astray. He says, avoid careless banter, white lies, and gossip. He says, keep your eyes straight ahead. Ignore all sideshow distractions. Watch your step and the road will stretch out smooth before you. Look neither right nor left. Leave evil in the dust. But he said, keep vigilant. Verse 23, keep vigilant. Watch over your heart. That's where life starts. It's a heart thing. When issues, and we know issues are going to come. How many of you have dealt with some issues? How many of you dealt with some issues even this week? All right? Issues just don't go away. But what's in your heart will redirect those issues. You know how to handle those issues.
Amen.
You don't have to become subject to those issues. It is good news. You don't have to be tossed to and fro by these issues. You can do as Jesus did, because remember, one third of you is just like him.
Yes.
You can come out in the middle of the issue and go, shh. And all the elements has got to obey you.
Yes.
You tell your emotion that's coming out contrary to the Word of God. You tell your emotions, shh. Your emotion looking at you like, what? Who are you? One third of me is rising up. One third of me is pure. One third of me is right. One third of me looks like Jesus. One third of me is not going to put up with this other two thirds that's been trying to pull me away all this time. Because the Word of God tells me that greater is He that's in me. That's the one third. Greater is He that's in me. Greater is He that's in me. Greater is He that's in me. I say greater is He that's in me. Greater. Greater. Look over in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Put that on the screen for me. I can already tell you right now, I'm going to have to push this to next week too. I'm here next week with you guys as well. Praise the Lord. Ephesians 3:20, please. There we go. Never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all this. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination. He will outdo them all, for His miraculous, listen to this, for His miraculous power constantly energizes you. His power is inside of you. You're one with Jesus.
Yes.
Come on.
All this time we've been put in that part, the most powerful part that has the very power of God inside of you. We've been put in that at the end. Trying to deal with the emotional and the physical issues without the power from within. Oh, this is good stuff. Hallelujah. But now as we begin to start seeing and we grasp spirit, soul, and body, when we look at 1 John 4:7, must be speaking to your about your spirit. The born again part of you is the only feasible explanation for as Jesus is right now, so are you in this world.
Yes.
It's not your body, it's not your soul, but your spirit. That's as Jesus is. What an awesome truth and revelation that is.
Glory.
That's awesome. That even set me on fire when I was putting this together the other night. Once again, you know, I do this at nighttime. I start in the daytime. I start early in the morning, but I don't get it done until midnight. And then I get so excited, I go lay down and I can't sleep. Just the power, just the excitement. Praise God. However, there are Christians, very few Christians, who truly believe this reality of who they are. You know, I ministered here back in September, and I'll talk about Seated with Him. You know, and one of the things that came out by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost was that you are seated on a throne, not a fold-out chair.
Come on.
Think about that. That's who you are. You are seated on a throne in Him. If you're one with Jesus, you're one in Him. John chapter 14 tells us, it says, if you abide in me and my word abide in you. That tells us we're so intimately connected. Matter of fact, let me explain that to you. My wife and I are intimately connected. The proof of the pudding is 3 children. We're intimately connected. We are one in the Lord. All right? We're one in the Lord. In that same regard, we are one with Jesus individually, just as she and I are together. I'm that way with Jesus. I'm so intertwined with Him. That's why the devil doesn't know what hit him when you start speaking the word. That's why the moment that you got saved, he got an instant replay of his defeat.
Yes.
That's why. He got an instant replay of his defeat. Every time another person becomes born again, he don't know what hit him. It's Colossians all over him, all over again. He was being made a show of openly, all over again, and he hates it. He thought he dealt with it, and he's dealt, and now he have to deal with it millions times millions of people have gotten saved. He gets a replay, an instant replay of his defeat. But Christians today don't truly believe this reality. Well, since the Spirit can't be physically seen or emotionally felt, carnal facts consistently win over spiritual truth because they're not aware of who they are. They put their senses above who they truly are. Without looking at themselves in God's spiritual mirror, they just submit to what they see, taste, hear, smell, and feel. And they're led astray. They're deceived. But most Christians remain carnally minded, and Brother Copeland says, meathead. Carnally minded, carnal meaning carne, which means meat. If you're carnally minded, you're meat minded, you're meathead. So he says here that, and he's talking about Christians here. They're carnally minded. Without looking at themselves in God's spiritual mirror, they submit to those senses. And most Christians will remain carnally minded and experience its deadly effects. Notice I said deadly effects. When you yield to the senses all the time, it's deadly. It's deadly. I'm so glad we have Brother Copeland that says, I'm going to 120. Yes. And he doesn't say anything contrary to that. You never hear him say, well, I hope I make it to 120. I've been saying it long enough. No. If he was here right now, he'd jump up right now and start preaching and say, I'm going to 120. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. No, so we're not gonna yield to the deadly effects because we yield to our emotions and our senses. But instead, choose to be spiritually minded. Notice I said it's a choice.
Yes, right.
Yeah. You gotta choose to be spiritually minded. You know, you gotta choose, brother, to read the word. You gotta choose to put God's mirror in front of you every day. You got to choose to do it. Well, I don't feel like it. Well, you go. You just went over to the senses. Well, I'm tired. Senses. I don't have time. Flesh. And we teeter in these 2/3 all the time. And the whole time we have one that looks just like Jesus, standing sure and strong and ready to take command. Now, if you believe that you are in your spirit, just as Jesus is right now in heaven, in all of his glory, power, and perfection, your life would be revolutionized. You would do things a little differently. Amen. However, believing is just the first step. Say it's first step. Believing is just the first step. You must also learn how to release. See, that's the important thing. We read that scripture in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. There's a power working in you. It's the very power of God. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ever ask or think, according to the power that works in you. That's the power that's in your recreated, born-again spirit. There's a power in there.
Amen.
And so he says, we have to learn how to release the reality from within. Remember, the Spirit of the Lord had me to read to you Proverbs chapter 4. He said, for out of it comes the issues of life. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it comes every issue of life. You deal with those issues with the Word of God. You have to have that knowing inside of you that this world is not going to defeat you. That those bills that are bombarding you are not going to take you down. They're not going to break you. Hallelujah. This diagnosis of whatever the doctor may have said is not going to kill you. Amen. Well, you just don't know what they told me. You just don't know what God said.
That's right.
Well, I tried that Bible stuff. I tried that word and it didn't work. No, the word tried you and you didn't work.
Amen.
Glory to God. No, his word is truth.
Yes.
If his word is truth, there is no ounce of lie in it. If he said that he sent his word and healed you and delivered you from all affliction, from all sickness, from all disease, his word did just that.
Amen. It's done.
If his word says that he shall supply all your need. Remember, all is Greek. Greek for all is all. He shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. Oh, wait a minute. Did you hear that? Through Christ Jesus. Well, wait a minute. I'm just like him. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think according to the power that works in us. See, you've had the very source of power and prosperity and healing inside of you. All you had to do was release it.
Come on. Yeah.
Come on, sir.
Why do you release it? Through the word of faith.
Yes.
It's inside of you.
Hallelujah.
Remember, Jesus taught in Mark 11. I'm going through a whole lot of scripture that I didn't give you. I apologize. Mark 11, 22, have faith in God. And then he tells the disciples, this is how God has faith. He said, if he would speak to a mountain, that mountain is going to move because he believes and he didn't doubt. In that same regard, the same way, the same power that's working in you, that same word, when you speak it in faith, that God kind of faith, it's going to cause your mountains to move.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I'm waiting for God to move my mountain. According to the power that works in you. Because you are just like him. Think about Jesus. And I teach Life of Christ at KCBC. And I'm so honored to do that. When I teach Life of Christ, anything, I never came across where Jesus ever said something and didn't happen. Or ever do something. Matter of fact, I said the Word of God tells us he went about doing good and healing some. The ones who really deserved it. The ones who cried the loudest. The ones he had pity for. All. The only time when he wasn't able to do a whole lot was he went back to his hometown and it was because of their unbelief. Their unbelief put a block to what he was capable and willing to do.
Yeah, come on.
Are you getting this, guys?
Yeah.
So when the Word of God tells me, when he said he sent his word and healed me, if I get up one morning and my head hurts, I know how to deal with it. I tell that part, that one third of part of me, you get in line. with the Word of God. Glory to God. We need to learn how to release this reality from within. Just thinking this awesome thought once won't instantaneously change everything in your life. What does that mean? Many people, this is what happens in the body of Christ in the church. And Dr. Bailey could probably expound a little bit more on this because he studied revival. People are really finicky when it comes to certain things. If they hear it, they get caught up in the emotion, right? And then and God is merciful. And we'll see wonderful moves of God, right? But then they don't know how to sustain it. And then we see some fizzling. Why? Because they did not stay true to seeking the Word. Amen. They were caught up in the emotions. They were caught up in the effect. They wanted to see the spectacular, but they don't know how to sustain those things because they get away from the Word of truly who they are. Matter of fact, Brother Hagin taught us, and he mentioned about a particular faith healer, actually a minister of God, that would preach and have wonderful manifestations of healing in his crusades. But the numbers were low of those that were retaining it. All right. Now, when you get in an atmosphere in a church, the presence of God is there. You know, we sing that song, you know, the presence of the glory is here. Just reach out and take it. Whatever you need, just reach out and take it. Well, that's God. You're in the presence. You're taking it by faith. But then the moment you step out of the presence and you go back out, you start experiencing the symptoms, and the first thing we want to say is, well, I guess it just didn't work. Well, this particular minister was experiencing a great number of people that were not maintaining their healing. So of all things, he felt led to go call Brother Hagin, because Brother Hagin moved along the same anointing. And so he shared with Brother Hagin. He says, you know, people are just not maintaining their healing. What do I do? And Brother Hagin said, it's very easy. I know the answer. But what is it, Brother Hagin? He says, teach him the Word. Don't just get caught up in what's going on. It says the presence of God is there. Take it. Praise the Lord. We got it. Amen. But you need the Word. Because see, out of the heart deals with the issues of life. You'll step out and you'll come out into this place, and then one naysayer out there all of a sudden is strong enough to tip you over and think you didn't get it. No, the Word. The Word never fails. The Word is powerful. The Word never will let you down. Hallelujah. So we need to know. We can't just think on this thing just one time. Those who seek me shall find me. It's a reality. It's a process. You have to keep digging. As the seed of this truth becomes firmly rooted and established in your mind, a process of understanding, growing, and maturing begins in your soulish realm. Your mind, your will, and your emotions. Then, over time, you'll see radical changes manifest as you continue believing this truth and you continue releasing God's corresponding power from within your born-again spirit. Now, let me ask you this question. If I told you this morning, hey, in your backyard, there is $1 million buried in there. All right, now you have a choice. You have a choice. You can either go back because it's going to solve all your financial issues. Some of you will go back home and you're going to say, Pastor Dwayne didn't know what he was talking about. How does he know? He hadn't been in my backyard. And you won't do anything about it. But some of you are going to go out there and start digging somewhere. All right? You're going to start digging. Now, the one that starts digging starts putting action to his faith. I have $1 million in here. Does he know it? Does he see it? No. But he took my word that there's $1 million in there. And if he digs and digs and digs, I'm not telling you, don't go up to your backyard. This is just an illustration. Some of you might even start with a little spoon here and there. Well, you know, I know he said it, but I don't want to tear up my yard. I'm just going to start with this little. And all of a sudden you find a coin. Oh, you start digging a little bit more. You might even put that spoon away and go get a shovel and start digging a little bit more. But some of you who just, he's crazy. $1 million. Come on. Never been in my backyard. And you never look. That's the way we treat the Word. Some people will listen to the Word and say, it's too good to be true. Everybody healed? Come on now. God supplies all of our needs. Come on. But the one who just starts off, even if it's just a little bit, digging a little bit, and they find that first nugget, oh, wait a minute, oh, oh. They might even work a little blister here and there, but they're going to keep digging. And I'll say, honey, bring me the shovel. Come on. Somebody bring the backhoe. Come on, they start tearing this yard apart. And you start getting more. Same thing with the word. You start getting the truth, and then all of a sudden it does, and it moves, and it does something, and it transforms your life. Oh, let me get into this word a little bit more. Oh, ah, this is so good. Oh, and all the whole time your soul is being transfigured, and you're looking more and sounding more like Jesus because your spirit's already like him, but the rest of you is coming in line. Hallelujah. I'm going to look more like him. I'm going to sound more like him. Now it's up to you. If you trusted what you can see, if you've trusted what you can see and feel more than my word, then you're going to miss out on that treasure. You're going to have to listen to this. It's one word. You're going to have to pursue it. What I was mentioning with Dr. Bailey is a lot of people get into the midst and they just want it all over again handed to them. I want more miracles. I want more miracles. But they're not pursuing the miracles. They're not pursuing. That's a big word, guys. If you're hungry enough, some of you are going to be pretty hungry when you leave here today. And you're going to pursue the kitchen. You're going to pursue the restaurant. Some of you might even pursue Whataburger before you get to the restaurant. Because you're hungry. But it's funny that we'll put more pursuing and more effort in things that doesn't do us, but just temporary good. But we won't pursue the word with all of our heart and get the millions of blessings that he has in this, his word. However, if you trusted my word, then you would start digging. If you trusted his word, you would start digging. You wouldn't wait to be told. You would start digging. You wouldn't wait. Believing is an important step, but you have to start doing something. Oh, but Pastor, I just want to just have it, you know, God just lavishes me everything that I want. You know, he's just going to put it all. Has he done it thus far? How much is he? He'll do it for certain people up to a certain point. And then he'll say, okay, start digging. All of a sudden my mind went to Nemo, you know, just keep swimming, just keep swimming. Just keep digging, just keep digging. Because, you know, you keep digging. We're in Texas. You keep digging, you're going to hit a gusher. You're at the revival capital of the world. You keep digging, you're going to hit a gusher. Oil, that is. Black gold, Texas tea. Oh, let's go digging, Pastor. Hallelujah. But some of you are only going to start with a spoon, and that's fine. You can start with a spoon. But after a while, you're going to hit pay dirt. After a while, you're going to start seeing some things. The more you know and understand of God's word, the quicker you'll start seeing spiritual riches manifest in your life. But before any of it works, listen, you must acknowledge what's already there. Did you hear me?
Yes.
You have to acknowledge that there is $1 million in your backyard somewhere. Yeah. Remember, once again, that's an illustration. Don't go tearing it up. But you have to acknowledge that the word has what you need. Yes. You are just like him. That word, when you get in his word, you're feeding that spirit and you have it in you. Everything you need. My God shall supply all your need. According to his riches. Well, how do I get his riches? I feast on his riches every single morning, every single day. I feast on the word of God. I'm digging, I'm pursuing because the word is in me. And when a situation comes in my life, I know how to handle it because the one third of me who's just like him knows how to pull from the wealth of his word. I need healing, I'll take healing. I need prosperity. I'll take prosperity.
Come on now.
Well, I want to go buy me a lottery ticket. No.
Come on, sir.
Don't settle for something that's unsure.
Jesus.
This has never failed anyone yet. This word has never done anything opposite of what it said it would do. If you're just like him, think about it. Jesus spoke the word. Jesus is the word. John chapter 1 tells us that Jesus is the word made manifest. He's the word. We're seated. We're intertwined with him. We're intimately connected with him. We're just like him. We look like him. We should sound like him. But that only happens when you get into this word. Well, you know what? I get on it on Sunday mornings. Well, you know, I get out my daily bread. Some of you don't have a clue what I'm talking about. I pick out one scripture randomly and I apply that for my whole day. You're getting a crumb. But it ain't doing you any good because you ain't applying it. You don't. It's not feeding your spirit. It's not feeding you. It's not correcting you. You're not putting the mirror in front. You get up every morning and look in the mirror. Why don't you get up every day and look in God's mirror? Am I looking like him today? Oh, no. You know what? I'm not. Oh, I better change the way I speak. I better change the way I treat others. I better change the way I talk. I better change the way I walk. I better do some things. I need to do some more pursuing because I need to look more like him. Oh, I talk bad to my coworker. Well, oh, come on, mirror. Show me what I need to do. That other two-thirds of me keeps creeping up, but no, that one-third is more powerful. It's more power. It has more power than the nuclear bomb.
Amen.
I believe it.
Hallelujah.
And that power resides in me.
Yeah.
Yes. That power is ready to be released by me.
Yeah.
But I just don't know. Shut up. No. His word.
Yeah.
His grace is his word.
Hallelujah.
And it's more than sufficient.
More.
Amen.
It's more than powerful.
Amen.
This word was God. Is God. Was with God at creation. God said, light be, and light was and still is and still moving at 186,000 miles per second. That's the power of the word. And that word, which is Jesus, that word, which is power, that word, when you feed that word, your spirit man looks just like Jesus. That word is inside of you. Let me tell you, you are grafted in that word. You are grafted in that word. That's why when you look and you see somebody who is sick in their body and you speak to them the word, that same power that is in that word, that's ignited and released by you, your spirit man in faith. The disciples walked, didn't even have to say a word, and people were jumping out of their pallets, healed. That word won't fail you. That word won't let you down. That word is more powerful. And you have that word inside of you. Oh my goodness, church. The word of God is truth. You have truth inside of you. And let me tell you something, sister, the truth shall make you free.
Amen.
The truth is you're healed. The truth is you're prosperous. The truth is you're just like him.
Yes.
Somebody give God the glory.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm going to pick the rest of this up next week. And so God is good. Hallelujah. I'm going to pass it on over to Pastor John Jester. God bless you.
Woo.